Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock!
You know what, Hammer? It ain't just the fancy schmancy highfalutin Ivy League schools with the pro-Hamas, anti-Israel tent cities. We got a good old-fashioned anti-Semitic encampment down at IU in Bloomington.
B-Town.
Now, IU president Pam, I just call her Pam, right?
We got a first name relationship with her, Pam.
Yeah, President Pam said she's good with the show of law enforcement action and force, but there's always a but, right?
Right.
Give us the but.
But they're also offering concessions to the encampment folks, the demonstrators, including the partial rollback of the recently enacted restrictions on the tents in the traditional free speech zone.
Okay.
And now you're also seeing the mayor of Bloomington get in the mix. You've got faculty at IU Bloomington all getting in the mix. And guess which side they've picked, Nige?
50-50 shot. Let me flip a coin. Hamas!
Hey! Winner,
heads,
winner, chicken dinner.
Heads for Hamas.
So by last night, 500 people, at least 500, claimed faculty members were, quote, appalled and ashamed by the reaction from IU Bloomington and the Indiana State Police when they were told, hey, let's get rid of these folks because they're violating the protest ordinance that they've had.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's such a thing as protesting peacefully, but if you're protesting peacefully at a place where you're not allowed to protest and trespassing, you go to jail. You get arrested. I mean, does that make sense to anybody?
And this letter of over 500 people, which is calling to oust President Pam. Now, keep in mind, she got a no confidence vote by about 90% of the faculty that worked at IU. But no, they're saying that, listen, it's a peaceful protest. And I can't believe we're militarizing this free speech zone. But yet they're failing to mention some of the awful rhetoric coming out of these Chaz wannabes down in Bloomington.
Chaz wannabes.
Because if you listen to the Indiana State Police, they're going to tell you a different story. So I'm going to play you a couple different sound bites here, Nige.
Right.
First, the mayor of Bloomington, she was so distraught about the show of force that she saw on campus, that she had to go into her car, record some sort of half-assed social media video, and upload it.
I spoke of the need also to remain peaceful in protesting and to ensure de-escalation rather than the use of force. I was not clear in that statement. I was referring to the state police advance on peaceful protesters when I believe all routes to de-escalation had not been met.
So the mayor of Bloomington thinks everything would have been just fine. They would have been, you know, getting together, the pro-Hamas people and the anti-Hamas people. They'd be playing Uno right
now. Sure.
They'd be playing Skip-Bo had the awful, scary Indiana State Police not come in there. Now, State Police Superintendent Doug Carter, he's got a little bit of a different story.
Every effort was made to de-escalate this. We didn't do it publicly because we didn't want to put them in that position. So I think it was short-sighted of her, and I hope that we can talk through this. We gave them ample opportunity and had lots of discussion about what they needed to do for us to protect them. These are the pro-Palestinian people. We'll stay here with you. We'll protect the front line. However, there are rules. There was no rationalizing. It was either going, they were all going to do it only their way, or they were going to put us in a position to do what we did. And I think that was their intent.
Good for you. Put them all in jail.
And that was Doug Carter to Fox 59. You heard the newsroom earlier. He spoke to Tony Katz a little bit earlier today.
Law enforcement sources say they were jeered with chants of, "We are Hamas," which translates to me, "We are murderers."
Right.
We are baby killers. We are rapists.
We are a terrorist organization.
And we are Hamas. Death to all Jewish people is another chant that the law enforcement sources heard.
And Doug Carter says, quote, they wanted me dead. So, again, for the mayor of Bloomington, for the president of IU, listen, it's okay to say some of these people are lunatics and the police can do their jobs. It's okay. Last time I checked, this wasn't a Kent State type of situation where the police came in there and started firing rounds off. It's not what's happening here. They set up a Chaz-like encampment, which you cannot do. They refused to leave, and then they were forced to leave. Maybe, just hear me out here, President Pam or the mayor of Bloomington can have all these folks in their backyard. Maybe they can set up their $600 tents in their front and backyard.
Come on in.
Now, nationally, on a national level, these lunatics, they want to be able to set up their tent cities. They want to be able to make threats. They want to say the most horrific things imaginable. And they also want amnesty.
And get Kamala Harris to bail them out of jail again. She did the BLM riots.
So what started at Columbia has kind of turned into this nationwide showdown between students and the admin. And I'm telling you right now, if you've got weak admin, like clearly they've got at Columbia, these students will just keep moving that line further and further along to see what they can get away with. That's what they want to do. Like, if you're going to allow them to have this big, massive encampment, guess what they're going to do? Have a big-ass encampment. But if you say, you know what? We're not putting up with this garbage. You've got the right to free speech, but you don't have the right to block classrooms or to threaten someone's life or to set up a tent and live here in the middle of the quad. Guess what? They'll go home.
And there was some sort of deadline that came and went for Columbia University today. Yeah, they're right. I saw the article about we want amnesty. We want our legal charges taken care of. And this, you know, I still want to be able to walk.
for graduation. Right.
Okay, so that's not how the way it works, is it? With some schools, maybe so.
You can't let 20, 21-year-olds...
Who don't
dictate
even know
the
what
policy.
They don't even know what they're talking about.
Right.
They have no clue what they're protesting for. I've seen clip after clip of clueless people in masks. No, what's an intifada? What are we talking about?
And
here?
They all have masks on.
Yes.
Every one of them. Because, you know, when you're calling for the genocide of a certain race, you want to make sure you don't catch anything. Got to be careful about that.
I think it's more to hide their identity.
I know. These same idiots that are yelling death to America on these college campuses, they also expect your tax dollars to pay for their education. So these are the kind of bright minds and morons that are out there right now. But when you have weak leadership, when you've got a president at the university that's scared bleepless, they're going to keep getting away with this time after time. Experts are saying that the COVID shutdowns and the isolation could be to blame for what's happening on these college campuses.
Wait a minute. They're blaming COVID for the anti-Israel protests?
Forensic psychiatrist Carol Lieberman. You know Carol, right? She came to a couple of our bar casts before, I think. Carol Lieberman, forensic psychiatrist.
Really?
And says that the pro-Palestinian cause allows discontented youth to express long-withheld rage. It gives them an opportunity to identify with the oppressed against the oppressors.
Is that what it is? We've been done with the quote-unquote lockdowns for, what, 3-4 years now? How long do you get to use that as an excuse?
And I love the oppressed. Ivy League kids at Columbia are oppressed. Like, try to, you know, tell somebody in North Korea or Darfur, yeah, these right. Ivy League kids, these trust fund babies, they're really oppressed.
Try people at Tiananmen Square, you know, that incident. Right. That's you want to see oppression, you go check out that footage.
Coming up here in just about 15 minutes, Guy Relford will join us for Monday Gun Day. He had an article in the Indy Star, of all places, Guy Relford, talking about a certain Indiana political candidate who's kind of been a little wishy-washy on 2A. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. Pacers big win last night. Fun, rockin' weekend. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Hemhard with it. On top, Turner wants to do more damage. And he does. Another three from the left edge. The beleaguered Milwaukee Bucks call a timeout.
Fun weekend of Pacer playoff basketball, Hammer. That was the Pacers beating up Milwaukee last night, 126-113. Pacers lead the series 3-1.
It was awesome to see the city rocking and rolling again and positive things happening downtown. So often when we're talking about things happening downtown, it's negative. It's nonsense stuff. You know, knuckleheads firing off guns or people that shouldn't be out on the streets continuing to cause problems. That wasn't the case this past weekend. I saw restaurants and bars filled up all around downtown, people rooting on their basketball team.
Yeah, you got out of here after the show Friday and went down to the game, didn't you? You saw a couple good quarters of really good basketball. The end of that Pacer game was amazing.
Like, I got to be honest, I was getting a little frustrated, and I thought, maybe it's not our night after Middleton kept hitting those ridiculous three-pointers. The back of my mind, I thought, man, Pacers are going to lose this thing. It's just not their night. But they battled back. They won. And the crowd. I was there Friday. I wasn't there last night, but I could tell through the TV that joint was rocking and rolling last night. Had like a college atmosphere almost. You don't see NBA arenas, you know, with chants and things like that. And it was so awesome to see the city just, you know, lit up again.
Well, I thought it was fun to see Caitlin Clark from the Indiana Fever, number one draft pick out of Iowa, fire the crowd up.
Oh, place went nuts for her.
She's revving that Indy 500 car engine, right?
Yeah, and then yesterday, Miles Turner has a playoff career high. And the cool thing that happened was at one point, the fans are chanting his name, Miles Turner!
Mm-hmm.
So that's going on. And then he catches up on the wing and he lets a three go and he hits it. Like, that's
incredible.
A power move, right? 17,000 are chanting your name and you hit a three-pointer. He was asked about that after the game.
That was special. I didn't realize I hit the three while they were chanting my name. I saw that afterwards, but that was very special, just knowing just you know, how much, you know, the city means to me, and you know, they reciprocated that love. So it was a dope moment for me. It's definitely up there, and I got to it in front of my family, and it was a very special moment for me. But you know, we'll celebrate tonight. We got to get back to it, you know, right back to it tomorrow. You know, we still have one more game to win, and you know, never too high, never too low.
How are you feeling about that next game? Is it tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, 9:30. It's a late start in Milwaukee. Man, that knockout punch is always the hardest.
Yep.
That's the hardest win to get, is that series clinching win. And the more that series drags out, the more there's an outside chance Giannis could come back for the Bucks, their best player. So get him tomorrow. Like, their spirit's broken. Dame Lillard's broken. Giannis is broken. In this thing tomorrow.
Pacers are 3.5-point favorites as of right now.
They struggle as a favorite. Now, they won yesterday, but man, when the expectations are on the Pacers, things don't go as well as when they're the underdog. So, yeah, it's a big one tomorrow. And if Milwaukee wins that game tomorrow, game six would be back here in Indy on Thursday. We don't know the time. And there's chatter that that's when Giannis might return for the Milwaukee Bucks. Also, we found out today the Pacers are going to Paris for two regular season games next year. Not even preseason stuff. Two regular season games. They're taking on the San Antonio Spurs. Their star player, Wembanyama, is from France. So the NBA is going to strike while the iron's hot. And the Pacers and Spurs are going to play a couple games overseas in Paris.
If I'm not mistaken, Summer Olympics are in Paris.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Halliburton will be a part of.
Halliburton will be on that team. And I haven't heard, but I believe Caitlin Clark is scheduled to be on the women's team.
No kidding.
I don't know if she officially gave the thumbs up, but I remember during her run at Iowa, she was saying she wanted to be on that Olympic team and play. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. I know the Colts have gone overseas a couple times to play, but I've never been. Like, I wouldn't mind going overseas to watch my team, spend a couple days.
You didn't take a last minute trip to Vegas earlier this year, or was it late last year, to watch the in-season playoffs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Maybe you could take a last minute trip over the pond there to Paris.
That would be fun.
Might cost you significantly more buckage.
Right. I've never been on a plane that long, though, and I don't know if I would be the right kind of guy to travel with on that. Like, I want to get on the plane and I want to be there. You know, I'm going to have my drinks and I'm going to do the best I can, but I don't know if I'm ready to fly over the ocean.
If you get nonstop, I don't think it's any more than 6 to 8 hours to Paris.
Okay. Well, maybe then. We're thinking about a trip to Ireland for my youngest's graduation gift in a couple of years, because then I think the drinking age in Ireland is a little bit younger. I think everybody could belly up at that point. And then I've got a couple
nice
DDs.
I love it. You do anything else over the weekend, man?
Man, honey-do list was on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Always a honey-do list.
Did a few
Me
things.
Too.
Like, I've noticed now as I get older, you've seen the movie Old School, right? You were talking about how you've watched that a lot lately.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell's character, Frank the Tank, all the things that he's getting laughed at the keg. Well, I got a pretty big Saturday lined up, you know, Bed Bath and Beyond. I don't know if I have enough time.
Sure.
Home Depot.
Yeah.
All of those things I do now. Like, all of the things that he was getting laughed at by, like, the younger kids at the college kegger, that's actually on my to-do list on the weekends now, and I'm good with it.
Is it normal for a guy to be sore, as I am right now, after golfing 18 holes up with a cart?
With a cart?
With a cart. I did not walk this course. I also probably did not belong on this course because it's incredibly difficult.
Uh-huh.
It's a high-profile course. But is it still normal, even though we were in a cart? I can barely move right now. We golfed for 5 hours on Saturday after. Beautiful afternoon, beautiful weekend.
Right.
But I'm just asking you, as a kind of a same age, you might be a year younger, I used some muscles I hadn't used in a while. That was my first time actually playing 18 holes.
And I can't stress this enough, you had a cart.
I had a
This is like a Jeff Foxworthy joke. If you wake up sore after playing golf with a cart, you may be a fat ass.
That's it.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show.
It's Monday Gun Day with the Gun Guy.
Just watch out for the guns. They'll get you.
Guy Wilford.
Stop calling your arms guns.
The Hammer and Nigel Show.
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer is here, also joining us live in studio. The Gun Guy, Guy Wilford, 2A attorney and licensed firearms instructor, host of the Gun Guy Show Saturdays, right here on 93 WIBC. Guy, how are you?
Man, I'm great, and thanks as always to our sponsor for Monday Gun Day. That's Premier Arms in Brownsburg, with the largest selection of new, used, and historic firearms in the Midwest, and PA Jewelers located right in the store. Check them out at 3754 South Green Street in Brownsburg or premierarms.com.
So where do you want to start? This thing in the Supreme Court? I saw your name in the Indy Star. This is your segment. I'll let you open it up.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about my favorite guy in politics, Jefferson Sharif.
Oh, boy. It's another pile on.
Buckle up. Here we go.
Yeah. And, you know, the Indy Star called me here a week and a half or so ago.
And you answered?
I did. And and to be honest, in all sincerity, that was an issue. My cell phone rang, and I saw it was from the Indy Star, and I almost didn't answer the phone because I typically don't talk to those folks. WTHR and Indy Star are kind of off my list. But anyway, I decided to go ahead and answer it. And it was a reporter who ended up doing a very fair article. But it was on the issue of, will Jefferson Shreve's position on gun control in the mayor's race that he just went through affect his electability while he's running for Congress in the 6th Congressional District? And that's something you guys and I have talked about, something I've talked about on my show as well. And I thought, oh, hell yeah, I'll have that conversation. And so the reporter came down to my office, and we did quite an extensive interview, actually, and my points, and it's reflected in the interview, and I published this on my social media, you know, at Guy Relford on Twitter, or at just Guy A. Relford on Facebook. But I my points were, look, however you feel about gun control, first of all, we know we can't trust him on the Second Amendment because he stabbed us squarely in the back when he's running for mayor.
Right. He waited until he won the primary.
Exactly.
And then he rolled out his gun grabber plan.
And that's a point I made too, which is, however you look at that, even if you like his gun control ideas, you can't say that wasn't a little sneaky, right? Because it didn't give Abdul and the other people running in that primary the opportunity to go, hold on, here's how I distinguish myself from Jefferson Shreve, because I actually support the Second Amendment. But after he gets the Republican primary win, then he turns around and pretty much replicates the same gun control proposals that Hogsett had also put out there. And so, you know, right there, you have to wonder whether you can trust the guy. Separately, he then runs for Congress, very next election he can possibly jump into. And now if you go to his website, he's all about the Second Amendment. He's like, oh, I support the Second Amendment.
Shut up.
And, you know, and,
are you serious?
And even for a while, and he had to pull these because he was getting killed, but he was running ads where, got to go through a little bit of the timing here, the chronology. When he ran before mayor, he ran for state senate against Jack Sandlin, very popular senator I did a lot of work with right here in Indianapolis. And as part of that race, that Shreve filled out a questionnaire for the NRA. Just, how do you feel about, you know, assault weapon ban? How do you feel about constitutional carry? You know, all these different questions. And based on his answers, he earned what's called an AQ rating, which is A, but it's just based on the questionnaire because you don't actually have a voting record.
Right.
So he gets an AQ rating, but, you know, otherwise an A rating. And he then gets beat up by the Democrats in the mayor's race because he has an A rating from the NRA. He runs ads while he's running for Congress after he's already stabbed us all in the back on the Second Amendment, after he's completely reversed himself on all the things that he was asked about in that questionnaire. He runs an ad when he's running for Congress where he says, Jefferson Shreve gets attacked like this. And he's getting attacked for having an A rating from the NRA, leaving out the part where he's completely reversed his position on all those issues.
And for those who don't remember, when he ran for mayor here in Indy against Boss Hogsett, his gun plan, if you want to call it that, was to blame law-abiding citizens.
Exactly right.
Like, we're the problem in Indianapolis. No constitutional carry, raising the age, like finger wagging folks that didn't do anything wrong that just want to protect their families.
Precisely right. So then NRA, in a very well-timed move, came out and revised their ratings for Indiana candidates.
Oh.
And Jefferson gets an F, as in Foxtrot rating. And then he got beat up like all get out for running these ads, you know, where I'm criticized for getting an A rating. Well, yeah, because you don't have an A rating anymore. You got an F rating. So anyway, so the Star article to me is, I said, look, 2 points. First of all, if you care about the Second Amendment, you know you can't trust the guy on the Second Amendment because he's already stabbed us in the back once. And I personally don't live in the 6th District. I would not give the guy an opportunity to do it again. Secondly, no matter how you feel about the Second Amendment, no matter how you feel about self-defense or the right to bear arms, can you really trust this guy on any issue?
Right. If he's willing to flip-flop like that on something that I think conservatives find incredibly important, the right to defend themselves and their family, what else is he going to flip-flop
when he looks at you square in the eye and says, I will go to Congress and everything I do will be to protect the border and to seal the border. Can you believe that? Because we know, depending on what race he's in, he'll look at you right in the eye and espouse a position that he'll completely do a 180 on if given the opportunity. So I was happy to do that article. And actually, in full credit to the Indy Star, the article was really well done. You can find that at Indy Star or find that on my social media.
Who is it? Is it Speedy? He's running,
yeah, Mike
running
Speedy.
Against in the. Does he have a shot here? I mean, what do you think?
Well, Mike Speedy and I go back with him. We've worked together on several bills in the General Assembly. He was a strong supporter of constitutional carry.
But I mean, Shreve's got a lot of money. Is what I'm
Shreve's
saying.
Got
didn't,
a lot of
didn't
money.
Work for him here in Marion County, obviously.
They're both advertising here on this radio station.
Yeah, I think it's a 2-person race between Mike Speedy and Jefferson Shreve. And look, Mike Speedy got a very well-deserved A rating from the NRA. He's been very strong on the 2A. I like Mike Speedy, and I hope he wins that race.
Monday Gun Day with Guy Relford here on the Hammer and Nigel Show. So this isn't really about guns per se. I mean, I guess if you bend yourself in a pretzel, you can make it about that. But as a lawyer, Guy, as an attorney, the Indiana Bar Association, they went to the Indy Star. I know they were shopping this around to a number of people, but the Indy Star took the bait, and they ran this story basically saying it's unfair to criticize Judge Mark Stoner for what happened in the decision to go light on the sentencing for the killer of IMPD officer Breann Leaf. Now, the tone of the article is what I had a problem with, and I know you and I can probably disagree on some things. The tone is what rubbed me the wrong way, because I've got the Bar Association wagging their finger at us saying, you don't get the right to criticize this judge. But the thing is, Guy, it's not even just about the Breann Leaf thing. The article only talked about Breann Leaf. There's a long list of things where Judge Stoner has dropped the ball. That's where my problem came from, that it wasn't addressed by the Bar Association. So as an attorney, I'm curious as to your opinion.
Yeah, and you know, I haven't commented on Judge Stoner or the Breann Leaf sentencing. And I got to tell you, from a purely factual standpoint, there's some things that folks need to understand. And one is that a judge is completely constrained by the jury's verdict in terms of what they can and cannot sentence people to. And in the situation of this Elias Dorsey, who was convicted in killing Officer Leith, he was actually found not guilty of murdering her, okay, which is the intentional killing of a human being. He was found guilty but mentally ill of reckless homicide, which is a level 5 felony. A level 5 felony based on being a level 5 felony has a restriction on the number of years a person can be sentenced to.
Correct.
And a judge, the easiest appeal, I mean, I've done criminal appeals. I'm a criminal defense attorney. The easiest appeal ever would be if a judge came in and sentenced to somebody to more years than what the maximum sentence for that level of crime allows. You can't do it. It'd be the easiest appeal to ever go turn around in the Court of Appeals ever. And so a couple of points is, and by the way, just a little background here. He was not found just guilty of the killing through reckless homicide. He was found guilty but mentally ill. And that's actually interesting. You know where the verdict, the available verdict of guilty but mentally ill came from originally, historically, right here in Indianapolis? The Tony Caritsas case. Remember the Tony Caritsas
really?
Case? Absolutely. Because Tony Caritsas, in that whole situation with parading, I think it was Richard Hall was the gentleman's name. Around,
on the wire attached to the gun.
The wire attached to the gun. People don't know this historically. I follow this very closely. In fact, I was sort of tangentially involved later on when Tony sued his lawyer for malpractice. I defended that case. But Tony Caritsas was actually found not guilty of any crime related to parading Mr. Hall around downtown Indianapolis. He spent a bunch of time in jail, but it was all awaiting trial and under a contempt order. And there was so much outrage over he was found not guilty by reason of insanity. Okay? And the legislature looked at that and said, hold on, the guy may have some mental issues, but he clearly committed a crime. We got to fix this. And so they created a new option for juries, which is short of not guilty by reason of insanity. It's guilty but mentally ill. Guilty but mentally ill means you might need some mental health treatment.
Right.
But your butt's going to stay in jail for X amount of time according to the sentencing guidelines.
Right.
Okay. And that came directly out of the Tony Caritsas case. So in this case, with Elias Dorsey, who killed Officer Breann Leaf, and again, a heroic officer responding to a cry for help, he was found guilty but mentally ill of reckless homicide. He was also found guilty of attempted murder as to other people.
Right. His girlfriend that was in the apartment at the time.
Exactly. And so he was found guilty of attempted murder for that. That's a level 1 felony. You get a whole bunch more years available to you as a sentencing judge sentencing somebody for attempted murder as opposed to reckless homicide.
Right.
So what happened here is Judge Stoner looked at the maximum he could possibly sentence Elias Dorsey to for not murder, not even attempted murder, but reckless homicide, a level 5 felony of Brianna Leith, and gave him pretty much the maximum. I mean, close to the maximum he could have sentenced.
But close
him to.
Isn't the max. And to me, this is where the problem
difference.
Is. 9 months is 9 months, though. And I get that.
That's right.
And I understand what the jury's decision was. I understand there were certain sentencing limitations. But when you don't send this guy the maximum sentence, I think that sends a message to law enforcement that is basically a middle finger. And that's what I took from that. And if I feel that way, I think it's okay. And I bet I'm not alone. And I just am not in the mood for the fine folks at the Bar Association to judge me because I feel like a guy who they said he was insane, but I think he knew the difference between right and wrong, did not get the max sentencing. That's what rubs me the wrong way.
Totally get it. But we also, in that same breath, need to also report that this guy got 45 years. Right, for the attempted murder as to someone else. So this isn't someone who's going to be walking around anytime soon saying, oh, yeah, I killed a police officer, but 5.5, 6 years later, I'm walking around on the street. No, no, no. He's going to be gone for a long time. So listen, I don't criticize any of the coverage, but my point is simply to let people understand that this was not a guy who was found guilty of murder and was only given 6 years for a murder. The jury found him not guilty of murder and only convicted him as to the killing of Officer Leith to a much lower level crime, and judges are constrained by what they can sentence somebody to for a particular level of crime. Again, no criticism from me, and I don't want anything I'm saying to be seen as disrespect to our rank and file IMPD officers or the memory of Officer Brianna Leith. That's the farthest thing from my intent.
Right.
I just want to say there are limitations for what Judge Stone could have done.
Oh, and I get that. And also, and I know we got to hit a break here, all the other bad decisions I think this guy's made were completely omitted out of this op-ed in the Indy Star. So it's not like it was just one bad decision. If this were a really good judge and he didn't give this guy the max when he could have, I think a lot of people would be ticked off for a little bit, but then they'd move on. But when you factor in the Aaron Allen stuff and the Noah Shanavas stuff and, you know, the little girl that got shot outside the funeral home, I mean, it's one right after the other with this guy. I think people were not in the mood to get a lecture. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I completely understand that. And listen, judges, you know, are susceptible to criticism, you know, legitimate criticism. But my only point is let's make sure that we're doing that in the context of understanding what they're sentencing someone for and what their limitations are when they're doing so.
Monday Gun Day, Guy Relford with us. So the Supreme Court, they're going to dive into ghost guns.
They are, and they've accepted this case. And you know what's crazy is here we went for all these years without the Supreme Court taking any 2A cases, all the way back to 2010. All of a sudden, they're taking a whole rash of them. The most recent one is on this issue where the Supreme Court came out and said, well, we need to worry about these ghost guns. That's where people make or assemble their own guns at home from unserialized parts. And they said, well, we got to fix this. In doing so, and in passing a regulation, the ATF essentially redefined firearm in terms of what Congress has already defined firearm to be. That, in and of itself, it creates a constitutional challenge, meaning they're exercising legislative power as opposed to mere regulatory power, and for that reason is unconstitutional. But at the end of the day, what they're really trying to do here is to regulate even the sale of parts of firearms, and that's a big problem.
If anybody wants to continue this discussion or they've got a question for you, maybe they want to be trained, how do they find you?
Really, on Twitter is the best way, man. It's at Guy Relford on Twitter.
Guy, you're the best. Thank you for coming in, man.
Thanks, guys. Great to see you.
Hey, coming up next, for the first time, we're hearing from the mother of the IMPD student whose young son was in the Fight Club video. We've got that story next.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there. For the first time, we are hearing from the mother of the IPS student that was attacked in class while a teacher videotaped it. Sort of a Fight Club situation, if you will, involving a 7-year-old.
So this took place at George Washington Carver Montessori, IPS School 87. And in a statement that they released to Fox 59, quote, "Every child deserves to learn in an environment that is safe and nurturing. I am committed to ensuring that the tragedy my child endured serves as a wake-up call for all involved in our education system. It's my deepest hope that this painful episode leads to significant changes that will protect countless other children from ever experiencing similar harm or having to go through what our family did. This is not just about my child. It's about children in our schools."
I'd be apoplectic. I would be livid. I would be lawyering up. This teacher was allowed to, quote unquote, resign and keep his teaching license. IPS did not contact the police department. They contacted the Department of Child Services and left it to them. Problem is, they're not a legal agency. So now, long story short, prosecutors are looking into this.
And keep in mind that this wasn't a videotape that was discovered by a student in the class that had their phone out secretly. The teacher. This was the video of the teacher who thought this was great, who thought this was hilarious. A 7-year-old who had special needs involved in this fight club. Absolutely disgusting. And I hope law enforcement gets involved here. Nige, every once in a while, something happens, and maybe an unexpected place that gives you hope with humanity. Like, you hear about that story of the 7-year-old fight club, and you want to lose faith in humanity. But then something else happens, and you think, maybe we're going to be all right. The NFL draft was this past weekend,
yeah,
and it was in Detroit. Now, you got to keep in mind, Detroit's a pretty liberal city. But when they announced that the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, was going to come out and announce the 4th-round draft choice of the hometown Detroit Lions, she was booed off the stage. And it brought joy to my cold, dark heart, Nige. Listen to this. Gretchen Whitmer, governor of Michigan, booed in her own state on national television at the NFL draft.
"To announce the Detroit Lions, please welcome Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, also known as Big Gretch."
Wow.
All right. All right, Detroit, let's hear it.
Oh, you heard it. You heard it for sure. Now, again, this is her home state. This is a very liberal city.
But this goes back to her but the NFL is not a liberal sport for the most part. A couple of years ago there was the kneeling and the stuff like that, but for the most part, NFL fans, I don't feel like are like left-wing progressives. Do
right.
you?
There's a big difference, I think, between what some of the players think about politics and what the majority of the fan base is.
During COVID, it was locked down for thee, but not for me. She's a huge hypocrite. She told people not to go to their summer homes or cottages, primarily up northern Michigan. But then, well, what do you know? She spent time at her summer home. Just
right.
another example, the COVID hypocrisy. And so it was a lot more than that.
And her office is trying to spin this as, well, that's just passionate fans. Like in Philadelphia, they boo everybody. They boo Santa Claus. Well, they brought Eminem out at the NFL draft to open it up, and he got a standing ovation. The place went nuts when Eminem came out on the stage. But then when Big Gretch came out, she was booed out of the joint. And that little bit right there brings some joy to my soul, Nige.
Your cold, dead heart.
I love it when bad people get booed. Makes me smile. You're going to have to explain this new fashion trend to me.
You want me to explain fashion trends? Look what I'm wearing.
Look what I'm wearing. Your hoodie is a hell of a lot nicer than anything I'm wearing
I'm
right now.
I'm currently wearing a Indianapolis Motor Speedway hoodie. Got this through their merch store. It is really one of the most comfortable hoodies. I wear it all the time.
I'm wearing a Bush Light t-shirt. Bush Light.
So I would expect our Kylin is filling in for Allison here. I wouldn't expect her to look at us and say, "Yeah, these guys have opinions, strong opinions on fashion."
You fit in radio. Yeah. You don't need to be on TV. Don't worry.
Well, maybe she can weigh in on this story because I find it hard to believe that this is actually a fashion trend.
Okay.
So there's $800 jeans being sold out online that come with a pre-made pee stain in the crotch.
It makes you look like you peed your pants.
Right. And it's already there. It's not like, you know, real pee.
Right.
It's a made in the jeans pee stain in the crotch, $800.
No.
And they're sold out.
No.
A designer clothing brand in
Come
the UK
on.
Called Jordan Luca just debuted pre-stained jeans, as they call them.
Are they running out of ideas in the fashion industry? So what we're going to do now is we're going to make jeans and we're going to make them look like they urinated yourself.
But what if you don't have time to actually pee your pants? It's okay. These will be pre-stained jeans. They made their runway debut
here.
Last fall and immediately sold out when they hit the Jordan Luca website, and they're selling for $810.
Yep. Looking at it right here.
Can you get a link and put that on Twitter?
I will certainly do that. That looks like that guy urinated himself.
Now, some are going for $600, but others are going for $810 for a pair of designer jeans that have a area
no,
specifically
made. It's right around the crotch. I'm looking at it right now. It looks like you urinated yourself. Sorry, let me get on Twitter.
So, Kylan, as the fashionista of everybody in this room, if you knew this was like a major trend, which it sounds like it is, how comfortable would you be to walking in the studio with pre-stained jeans on?
I just couldn't. I would not. Absolutely. No. No.
Could you save money and just pee them in yourself?
I think I could save everybody hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars if you want to buy pee-stained jeans.
I guarantee these smell better, but they don't look any better.
That's the key. I want to look like I pissed my pants, but I don't want to actually have the smell.
If you want to save some cash, Nigel can have a garage sale. And
one of the designers said in this article, "We are willing to react, respond, and learn about these pants, but we are growing up without losing the flavor."
Flavor. The flavor is pee. The flavor is pee.
Go to at Hammer and Nigel, and I will. I've got this up right now.
I mean, those look exactly like what Billy Madison did to make his friend not feel self-conscious in the movie.
Hey, look, everybody. Billy peed his pants.
Of course I peed my pants. Everybody my age pees their pants. It's the coolest.
Really?
Yes, you ain't cool unless you pee your pants.
Wow. Hey, man, Ernie pees pants, too. All right.
If peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the grossest thing I've ever heard in my life. Let's go.
Is that not one of the greatest comedic lines ever in a movie? If peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis. That's incredible.
Matt Bear seems like the kind of guy that might own some pre-stained jeans.
I guess is the music behind it. It's like the perfect delivery of a comedic line. Absolutely, it's my favorite part of that. Really excellent.
Is this anything? Next.
Hammer and Nigel presents.
Is.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yeah.
Is this anything?
All right, let's rock and roll. Rock and roll.
Hammer, how do we play? Is this anything?
I'm going to run some stories by you. You break down all the information. You give us a verdict. Is the story anything or not? Man, some crazy weather over the weekend. Bad tornado outbreak in parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska. There's a guy in Omaha, Nebraska, who says that hot dogs saved his life on Friday.
I'm sorry?
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs saved the guy's life.
A tornado destroyed his house.
Oh, man.
But he was out buying hot dogs at a gas station when it happened. Here's Jason.
You know, I was at the gas station getting hot dogs, and it saved my life. So hot dogs saved my life. You know, count your blessings. Be glad there's no fatalities in the neighborhood, I heard. And family's safe. Stuff can be replaced, but family's everything.
Yeah, that is something for sure. Wow, the guy wanted some wieners. Went out to the local gas station to get said wieners. Comes back, his house is gone. He could have been in there. But for his craving of hot dogs.
Right.
Are we underestimating the quality of a gas station hot dog?
I don't think you're underestimating it, no. You may be overestimating it, to be honest with you. I mean, if we're having a real talk here.
I mean, you go to places like, I was just at Get-Go the other day, and they had a solid hot dog operation going on there.
Okay, Get-Go does have great gas station food.
Food, yeah.
Like, they got the sandwiches there. I like a good gas station sandwich, whether it's a breakfast sandwich or maybe at Speedway. If you use your Speedy Rewards cards, they have, like, these McRib-type sandwiches there. So maybe if you're willing to roll the dice on a hot dog from the gas station, you can eat the mystery meat that's in the McRib that they've got.
You're rolling the dice every time you get a hot dog from the gas station, for sure. But that's something, and yeah, man. I mean, I read something like 80 tornadoes across the area, Midwest, Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Iowa.
Right. It was bad. And unfortunately, some people did lose their lives. Mm. But this guy was out getting hot dogs, and he wasn't where the damage happened. He needs to get an endorsement. Like somebody like Oscar Mayer or somebody.
Yes.
Hormel. They need to get this guy, and he needs to be their spokesman.
Should we get something going on X / Twitter about the best gas station foods?
We can do
like,
that.
Like where to get the best gas station food?
We can have that conversation.
I would love to have that conversation.
What's your go-to when you go to a gas station, or, you know, just picking from the entire catalog?
Yeah, but I want to limit it. I don't want to go, you know, combos shouldn't count teriyaki. I'm talking like, you know, the Tacatos things, those.
Yeah, taquitos, you know, the sandwiches, the pizza.
Yes.
Things like that. Like some places even have like decent cold sandwiches. Like you can pick them out from the little freezer section there.
I'm just going to put it out there. Who has the best gas station food right now?
All right. Get-Go Cafe is going to be tough to beat. That's one of the premier places I like to see when I'm out on a road trip. Is this anything?
By the way, we passed a Buc-ee's. On our way down to Florida, down to Destin, and it was so crazy, we decided not even to pull in.
Oh, you didn't even go?
It was a giant complex, and our friends did stop, and it looked, they said they'd never go back.
Really?
It was insane.
Because of the amount of people that were there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something's happened.
Because I've told the brisket at Buc-ee's is phenomenal. Like you can get a brisket.
My buddy Dylan bought several different types of beef jerky, and which was good.
Right.
But not the kind, the prepackaged kind, like the real deal.
They make it in the store, I believe. Man,
but I did not. I'm quite glad I did not stop in.
I'm getting my Buc-ee's experience, I believe, this Thanksgiving when we go down to Rocky Top.
Oh, okay.
And there's one right there, so hopefully I'll have a little better experience than he did. Is this anything? A man in Pennsylvania got a tax bill in the mail last week saying that he owes the fine state of Pennsylvania $34 billion.
What's his name? Jeff Bezos?
Nope, his name is Barry Tangert. Here he is talking about his bill.
I knew it was an obvious blunder. I don't even make over 100K a year, so there's no way I could owe anything near that. Well, the first thing he said was, you had a good year. And I said, I wish.
Those wacky IRS agents, you had a good year. Obviously, they got corrected. He did not have to pay that bill. But what I wouldn't give to see in my tax returns, you owe $34 billion. If you think about it like that, I would love to see a $34 million tax bill. come through, because that means I made a crap load of money.
Yes, good save.
In 2023. Okay.
If you're paying that much in taxes, it means the revenue you brought in. Oh, baby.
It means I'm going out on a yacht to celebrate.
By the way, the YouTube chat's blowing up. Casey's has the best pizza. Casey's Pizza. Oh. Breakfast burritos. A lot of Casey's coming in on the YouTube chat right now.
A VP in a village pantry in Fishers used to have chicken livers and gizzards. They were delicious.
Hmm.
Are you buying that?
I'm not buying that, and I don't know if I want any sushi, if anybody makes sushi. Indiana sushi at a gas station. I think I'll take a rain check on that one. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The Hammer and Nigel Show.
Yeah, I think South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem might be done in terms of like a vice presidential pick for Donald Trump after this story. But she's doubling down on it. She revealed in her new book that she shot her 14-month-old puppy execution style in a gravel pit. She said the dog wasn't learning to hunt very well, so she shot it. It was killing chickens. It was aggressive. And so she took it on down to the gravel pit and pulled the trigger. Where are we at with this, Hammer? I'm not a dog lover, but I certainly don't think I can pull the trigger and kill an animal, much less a puppy.
She described in the book how she hated the dog and how it was less than worthless as a hunting dog. She also said that it was snapping and biting some people. But the thing is, it was only 14 months old. You know, so I don't know. If she's trying to spin this as, well, you city folk don't understand what it's life like to live out in the sticks. Listen, we come from a long line of sticks livers and the Hammer family and the Gerald family, both of us together.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's normal to take a 14-month-old puppy and shoot it execution style because it hasn't turned into a good hunting dog yet.
Yeah, I mean, call a rescue, for God's sake. If dogs, I was talking to my boss about this because he's an expert in, like, trains dogs. He knows a lot about dogs. And he said that failed hunting dogs, protection dogs, service dogs, and drug dogs make great companion animals. There's a different generation that... Like, I remember I had a couple houses ago. I lived over on the west side of Indy, and I had elderly neighbors that would trap chipmunks in a cage, right? Like a metal cage on the side of their garage. And instead of taking them to Eagle Creek, they'd just go put it in a bucket of water.
Oh.
And get rid of them that way. Now, these guys were in their 80s. I mean, I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying there's probably a different way of doing things when dealing with rodents. But this is a dog.
Right. Now, you could take the dog discussion however you want. But is this political savvy for somebody who viewed herself as a short list finalist for Donald Trump to put this in a book?
I don't think she is anymore. And I'm surprised somebody didn't catch that and say, maybe we leave the part where you blow crickets' brains out all over the gravel pit. Maybe we leave that part out.
She put this on Twitter, quote, "I can understand why some of you are upset about a 20-year-old story of Cricket, one of the working dogs at a ranch in my upcoming book, No Going Back. The book is filled with many honest stories of my life, good and bad days, challenges, painful decisions, and lessons learned."
I love how she got the plug in for the book.
Speaking Cricket, man, No Going Back is available.
We do. Do we not put aggressive dogs down all the time?
We do.
But they're usually older.
Right.
And they're usually... at a point where if they're getting that aggressive, then it's you know, time to put them. This was a 14-month-old dog. Was there an issue? I don't know. I need more context about the way the dog was aggressive, I guess. And was it trained properly?
Right. But from a pure political standpoint.
I understand.
This is such a dumb move. And you're right. You're absolutely right. Her handlers, her advisors, her political consultants, they've got to be able to tell her, yeah, why don't you just take that line out? I don't think this is going to go well for you, especially considering you're on the short list of finalists to be Donald Trump's vice presidential pick.
I mean, like, I'm just kind of clicking through headlines here. The View goes off on Governor Cruella. Signs of a sociopath. I don't know. Maybe they just did things different in that part of the country.
And that's very a possibility. But again, I have got some country folk in my family, and I don't think shooting a 14-month-old puppy execution style in the gravel pit is something that's been done in the past. And it's not just lefties going at her. I've seen on social media Tommy Lahren ripping Kristi Noem.
Oh, really?
You had a number of folks, Janice Dean from Fox News, ripping Kristi Noem for this. So, yeah, this was a bad decision for her. Take the dog angle out of it. Just the political decision to put this out there right now, just a bad decision. We were talking about the crazy tornado outbreak over the weekend a little bit earlier. Nebraska and Iowa, just some of the states that got slammed. Some storm chasers posted some unbelievable footage of one crossing a highway. Check this out. It ends with them finding...
Oh, I posted this. I'm sorry. I posted this earlier. This is incredible, right?
Yeah. It ends with them finding this overturned semi and checking on the driver.
Wow. Semi's overturned up here. Hey, let's get up to the sky real quick. I got the med kit in the car if you need it. Put it on your hazard right now.
So you guys will help.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, my God.
He's okay. Right.
He's okay.
Right.
He's okay.
Dude, this, you watch this thing, these storm chasers are insane, because this wasn't some little tiny piddly tornado. This was like something you'd see in Twister, and it was the middle of the day. Go to @HammerNigel, scroll down a little bit, and these guys are heroes. They went and they checked, I mean, this entire semi-truck, including the trailer, flipped. It was either flipped on a side or flipped upside down. I need to go watch it again. But they stopped what they were doing, pulled off the side. I mean, the tornado couldn't have been more than, you know, 1,000 feet away, doing its thing over there. And it's interesting, for sure.
And if there's anything we can take from this past weekend, have a plan of action in place. Like, if you think there's a chance that some severe weather may come, and I know a lot of people get frustrated, well, you said a storm was coming and it didn't come, and they get ticked off. But man, it takes like 2 seconds to have a plan of action in place. Tell your family, tell your friends, listen, if we get separated, here's the meeting spot. Have everything charged up. This is where we're going to go if a storm comes. Something like that. Just have a plan in place.
I got some stuff coming in about the Kristi Noem story. Do you want me to read some of the responses? Kristi Noem, of course, growing up when she was young, had an aggressive 14-year-old puppy that was a horrible hunting dog that they ultimately put down on a gravel pit. Shot him. You know, this is from Ron. Absolutely normal. Animals are put here for our use, whether it be protection, food, or companionship. This is a nothing burger. The entire nation has gone soft. I'm not necessarily sure I agree with.
Yeah, but this is a person who needs to appeal to people for her livelihood. She doesn't make her living being a hunter and a farmer anymore. Yes. She makes her living being a politician.
Grace says, it's not quite the same, but let's not forget the Bidens had to have one of their dogs put down because it was overly aggressive since he took office. But again, that dog wasn't a puppy.
And the Bidens are morons.
Well, there's that. Rangeline fan says, I'm not sure why people are so upset about what Governor Noem did. Sincerely, Dick Cheney and the Clintons.
D- Dick Cheney shot somebody in the face, and then that person apologized to him. Like, in the ultimate power move, that person apologized to Dick Cheney.
Wow. Incredible.
Let us know what you think at Hammer and Nigel.
This is how we do it.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Coming up a little bit after 5 o'clock, Donnie Burgess from the WIBC Newsroom will join us in studio with the latest on the Delphi trial. But right now, we are giving away tickets to the IndyCar Grand Prix, May 11th at the Speedway. Brent was caller number 9. Brent, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. So we're going to play a little game here called Drives a Car or Arrested at a Bar. I'm going to give you the name of somebody. It will either be an IndyCar driver or somebody who has been arrested at a bar. You get 2 out of 3. I'm going to give you these tickets, okay?
Sounds good.
Number 1, Will Power, drives a car or arrested at a bar?
Drives a car.
Drives a car. One down. All right. Get this one right. Tickets are all yours. Drives a car or arrested at a bar, Morgan Wallen.
Arrested at a bar.
Yes, sir! There we go! Woo! My man, Brent, you have got 2 tickets to go check out the Grand Prix, Sancio Grand Prix, May 11th at the Speedway. Stay on the line, and the lovely Miss Kylan will get all your information, okay?
All right, sounds good.
Right on. We got tickets to give away all this week on the show. You're going to have to tell me who Crackhead Barney is.
Crackhead Barney. Well, remember that audio that we played last week of some lunatic accosting Alec Baldwin at a coffee shop or some sort of deli, demanding that he denounce Israel and also saying, "You killed somebody. How are you out of jail?" She's a complete whack.
Had the camera right up to his face.
Yeah, and he finally just flipped the... rightfully so. Can't believe I'm finding myself in a position to defend Alec Baldwin, but this woman was just totally inappropriate, totally out of line. I want you to denounce Israel. Say, F Israel, Alec. You killed somebody. Blah, 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 blah. Right? So the update is, did she go on Piers Morgan? Is that what she...
So first of all, I had no idea who this woman was, and I guess she's famous online troll.
Well, yeah, like an influencer or something like
that. A social media celebrity. Yeah. And Crackhead Barney is what she goes by. And she was booked to be on Piers Morgan's show. And she appeared wearing whiteface,
racist
booby tassels,
yeah,
a neck brace and shoulder sling.
Okay,
and this is what it sounded like when Crackhead Barney appeared with Piers Morgan.
Piers Morgan, you're asking too
just for
many
the record.
Questions.
My name is actually just
What's
Piers Morgan.
What's wrong with saying free Palestine? Piers, can you say free Palestine for me?
I think.
Piers, can you say free Palestine for
me? If you stop shouting, yeah.
I want you to say it.
Yes, I'm happy to say.
Okay, yeah. I'm not going to shout.
If you just.
Mr. Piers Morgan.
If you just keep quiet, I can answer your question. Yes, I'm very happy to say that.
I'm never quiet, Piers.
Sorry, you're still talking.
I'm never quiet.
Okay, but try.
I'm never
Otherwise,
quiet,
I can't.
Piers. I cannot.
You ask me to do something. If you don't shut up, I can't give you the answer.
Oh, my God.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I'll shut up for you.
I absolutely believe that Palestine should be free. Yes.
Oh, okay. And how are we going to do that, Piers? Give us the answers, Piers Morgan. Give us the fucking answers. Yeah, how are we going to make Palestine free?
Yeah, if it was as simple as
how are we
going
to do it?
If it was as simple as me just giving a simple answer now, it would have been done by now. It's a very complicated issue.
At what He's point do you this. Think Piers Morgan looked at his producers and booking staff no, and go, what did you do?
I disagree. He's loving this. I mean, it's getting ratings. It's a crazy woman on his show. I'd have her on our show.
I don't know if we have enough juice in the old dump button over here to handle a crackhead appearance.
Can you, Kylan or Allison, somebody book Crackhead Barney in the next week for the Hammer and Nigel show? I'd really appreciate it.
Top stories next.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock!
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there with a special in-studio guest.
Donnie Burgess is from the WIBC newsroom. He has been tasked with covering all things Delphi trial. He joins us now. So we get a lot of stuff on the plate here, Donnie. Let's start with a story you've got posted at WIBC.com. The Carroll County prosecutor, Nicholas McLeland, is asking the judge, Fran Gull, in the Delphi murder case to prevent any testimony about the Odinism stuff, the ritualistic killing, the cult stuff, or things like that. Walk me through it.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on for this, and this one is a big one. So the prosecutor filed a motion today, and he wants certain things kept out of the trial, away from the jury, and these things include any claims of Odinism, any naming of alternative suspects, any mention of geo-tracking data, which is what the defense tried to say proves Richard Allen wasn't around the crime scene.
What the hell is Odinism?
Odinism, it is a branch of like an old Norse mythology religion that deals with sacrifices, things like that. And so, and among those other things, they want the testimony of former Rushville police officer Todd Click to be excluded as well. And he's the one who added some legitimacy to the Odinism claims. He was a part of a team that was investigating possible Odinism ties to Delphi back in 2018. And he
so this
also,
isn't uncommon, though, that the prosecution would not want this stuff in there. I mean, hell, they can ask for the moon, the worst they can do is get a no in return, right?
But it goes a little further than that. So not only is he asking for those things, okay, those are some of the big ones. Then there are a couple of odd ones. There is, he would like the defense to not mention how the files were labeled when the state handed over evidence. He would like the defense to not mention the PowerPoint presentations that the state created about other potential suspects. And he would like the defense, if this motion goes through, to not acknowledge that this motion exists.
So the prosecution would not like the defense to speak in this trial, basically. That's what we're hearing.
Defense cannot defense is what he is. It seems to be going for here.
So the Odinism, back to that, just real quick, the claim that this death cult or whatever it is the result, was the result of the murdering of Abby and Libby, and that's where this all came from.
Yeah,
that's where that angle came from the defense.
It's probably good to touch on that just a little bit to remind people. The whole Odinism thing is basically the claim that the bodies were staged in a way and the crime scene looked in a way that was similar to a Odinism human sacrifice, right? And at first when this came out last year, okay, defense looks like they're going off the rails a little bit. But then they reveal that Todd Click was a part of a three-man investigation team that had been looking into this Odinism thing years ago. So it added some legitimacy to the claims that there was something odd going on. And they name several men in the court documents that were also involved in this investigation.
And wasn't there a case of somebody inside the jail having an Odinism-like tattoo or something?
Yes. So the guards at Westville, where Richard Allen was originally, those guards had Odinism patches and tattoos below their eyes, an Odin spear.
Now, has that been proven, or was that just a claim?
No, the pictures are out there now. That has been proven, and the judge, Fran Gull, ordered them to stop it. That eventually led to Richard Allen being moved. So that this is where all that Odinism stuff comes from for anyone who may be a little rusty on that.
So why the prosecution doesn't want any of that out there. The defense doesn't want the alleged confession from Richard Allen out there as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of decisions that are going to have to be made by the judge here.
There are still a pile of decisions, so many, and some of which you would think need hearings. And we are now 2 weeks away, as we sit here today, from jury selection. And so they still have not settled a bunch of these. There is starting to be talk of possible moving this trial again.
Donnie Burgess with us from the WIBC newsroom. He's covering the Delphi murders and the trial that goes along with it. The last time I believe we spoke, it didn't sound like any local media was going to be able to broadcast this live. Do we have any updates on that?
Yes, we do, and it's not good news if you're someone who wanted media transparency in this. The judge handed down the rules today for jury selection, how media is to behave. And again, we have no electronics, no nothing, pad and pen. That's all you get when you go in there.
You can't even live tweet this from your phone.
Nothing, no. And this is for jury selection. And not only that, she has said media gets 5 seats, and they are to figure out who's going to sit there on their own. So 5 members of media for jury selection, that's it. If you want to try and hang out, you can maybe fill in a chair or two in the back of the courtroom, but that's it. And that is in line with what I have heard from her staff and Indiana's public access counselor when I spoke to him last week.
Do you have any idea of the reasoning behind this?
The staff claimed it was just for the protection of the jury and witnesses, and the courtroom was small.
Yes.
And there are other opinions on that.
Last thing here before we let you go. This may be the most high-profile murder trial the state of Indiana has ever seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, there have been some high-profile trials, but high-profile murder trial here, only 5 media seats available. Are those going to local, or is this going to go to, like, national media? Do we know?
It sounds as if it's first come, first serve. Which, and in the papers, she says, the court will not mediate this. Media, you figure it out. And I've already been talking to a national media person today. They're still going to show up. So it sounds like it's going to be a free-for-all for 5 seats. And the reason why I think this is important to bring up is this could apply to the rest of the entire trial as well. So what
happens if you don't get a seat? I mean, you're covering this. You're staying down there.
I mean, if I don't get a seat, that means we're out of luck on covering it, and we're going to have to rely hopefully on someone else getting it right.
See, this is what I was talking about. I do not like having to rely on somebody else's take on what's happening here. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have a pool of jury folk and there's a number of them and they all have the same story, you can kind of go along with it here. But if there's just 5, man, I don't know. I want full transparency here. That's what I'm looking for.
And I talked to several people Friday night who know Judge Gall, and they do not understand this change in her outlook on media access.
Tinfoil hat. Somebody got the Gall. Tinfoil hat.
Get it.
Take it off.
Where can we get more information, Donnie?
WIBC.com is where it's always at.
Donnie Burgess from the WIBC newsroom. Thank you.
Good work, Donnie.
Nige, the owner of the Indy 11, went on with Tony Katz earlier this morning.
Oh, I heard a little bit of that, yeah.
Listen, just my opinion here, and I think Rob Kendall shares the same because I heard him this morning too. It wasn't a real strong appearance.
Well, I even said yesterday when we were talking about this how the Keystone Group is sort of doing Indy 11 Park,
right,
or whatever, but then... Hogsett goes off and is trying to make a deal with Major League Soccer to bring a team in. I said that something didn't seem right with the existing deal.
Right.
And deal in quotes, because there was never any signatures.
And Tony this morning asked flat out questions. Was there a deal in place? Did the city, you know, go back on that deal? And man, it wasn't a real strong answer by the Indy 11. It was a lot of, well, this, well, that, long-winded, dodging kind of the question. That was the perspective that I had. If you want to hear it, I'm sure it's going to be on the podcast page at WIBC.com. But since Joe Hogsett will not come on our show to address what's going on.
Never, never.
We got the next best thing. Here with his perspective on what happened with the Indy 11 stadium deal, his relationship with the Indy 11. Here is AI Joe Hogsett.
Look, I know a lot of you people are upset that I threw the Indy 11 under the bus, but you have to remember one important thing. I'm a weasel. I mean, who in their right mind would trust me with anything? This is really your fault for trusting me.
True.
Welp, there is a case of vodka calling my name in my office. So let's have a sing-along and call it a night. I drink a whiskey drink. I drink a vodka drink. I drink a lager drink. I drink a cider drink. I sing the songs that remind me of the good times. I sing the songs that remind me of the better times. And by better times, I mean the times when the city wasn't having a riot on my watch.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I get blacked out, but I get up again. And you're never going to drink me down. I get blacked out, but I get up again. And you're never going to drink me down.
AI Joe Hogsett right there responding about the Indy 11 controversy. Speaking of Joe Hogsett, Nige, if you need a reason to drink tonight, it's Poem in Your Pocket Day. Every April 29th, Poem in Your Pocket Day is to encourage people across the United States to express themselves through poetry.
Okay.
When was the last time you wrote a good poem, Nige?
I don't know. When I was six for a creative writing project in elementary school.
Great moments in poetry history. Remember when Joe Biden was trying to read a poem off of the teleprompter?
A poem, one today, says, "And always one moon like a silent drum tapping at every rooftop and every window on every in of every county, country." Let me start this over again. I'm getting so intimidated by being here. "And always one moon like a silent drum tapping on every rooftop and every window of one country, county, county."
I can't, that was horrible.
Great moments in poetry history. This was right before the second GOP presidential debate earlier this year. "'Twas the night of the debate. And again, no Donald Trump. But a hangry Chris Christie is there, telling everyone,
'Sit down and shut up.'
Each time DeSantis mentions Florida, grab your beer and chug. You'll be so drunk in an hour, you'll actually cheer for that dude named Doug."
Forgot about Doug.
"Seven candidates on a stage. That can be a lot. Some people can be forgotten. Know what I'm saying? Senator Tim Scott." Nikki Haley will be there, probably fighting with Vivek. Will Mike Pence get so angry that he snaps and says the word heck? Without Donald Trump, this debate won't be as funny. But happy debate night to all. And as Donald Trump would say,
Joe Biden is a dummy.
There it is. Great moments in poetry history.
What is today?
Today is Poem in Your Pocket Day.
I wish I didn't know that.
Matt Bear once wrote a poem on the bathroom in here, something about a man from Nantucket.
It was good. It was good. It got published in a couple of journals. I mean, I was excited about it.
Since it is Poem in Your Pocket Day, Alex tweets at us, at Hammer and Nigel. "Roses are red, violets are blue. Biden's a jackass, Hogshead is too." Thank you. Alex, are you okay with this? Next.
Are you really okay with this?
Are you okay?
Everything's gonna be okay.
Are you okay? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm pretty f***ing far from okay.
Are you okay with this? On the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Oh, yeah! Hammer, are you okay with this? Is this the weirdest phone hotline from the past? Someone dug up an old 80s ad for a hotline you'd call just cry. You'd call this hotline just to cry. That's what the point of this hotline was. It cost $2 for the first minute, 45 cents each additional minute to listen to someone tell you a sob story. Here is a little bit of that hotline.
"What makes people all over America break down and cry like this? Call 1-900-9099-CRY and hear it for yourself. $2 for the first minute, 45 cents each additional minute. If you're under 18, ask your parents before you call. 1-900-909-9-CRY.
Are you okay with this?
No, and I'm not okay with the parent that would give their underage child permission to call the hotline just to cry.
Wait, would you call the hotline to cry, or would you call the hotline to listen to somebody cry?
I think you would call to cry, right? That's what I took from it. Either way, I don't want to cry on the phone. I don't want to have somebody crying to me, and I certainly don't want to pay $2 a minute for it.
Are you okay with this?
Hold on. Stop for a second. Whoa. I'm thinking about some of these ridiculous old like 80s hotlines and stuff. Do you remember the Colin Oates campaign where somebody set up a hotline where if you call this number, it's supposed to be for Hall & Oates. It's called Colin Oates. You'd be able to listen to a song. Now, I found the phone number, and I've given it to Kylan. So let's call Colin Oates live on the show to see if it still exists.
There's no way. No way. Colin Oates.
Welcome to Colin Oates, your emergency Hall & Oates helpline. To hear one-on-one, please press 1.
Okay.
To hear Rich Girl, please press 2. To hear Manita, please press 3. To hear Privatize, please press 4.
Which one, Nige?
Let's go 2.
You're a rich girl.
Yeah! It works! It still works!
The emergency call on
Colin Oates still works.
Old man's money, it's a rich girl.
But it's on. All right.
Cause you know it don't matter.
Harrison Silcox standing by with a look at the news.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You're listening to The Hammer and Nigel Show.
Controversy in Utah. Hammer, a woman is facing sexual battery charges after pulling down a strange teenager's skirt because she felt it was too short and showing too much cheek.
Ooh.
Here's the clip from the video taken of the woman that was scolding the teen after she allegedly pulled down the skirt.
If I happen to work for the state, and if I have to watch your cheeks hanging out again, I will call CPS.
Yeah. She's facing sexual battery charges, as well she should.
You don't get to go grab random people's skirts and pull them down because you think they're too short.
No.
Doesn't matter if you're a man, doesn't matter if you're a woman. That's not something normal people do. And if you want to face charges, then go ahead. But no, that's not how this works.
What did she say? She was going to call she works for the state and she was going to call...
Right.
Child Protective Services.
It was basically the do you know who I am speech.
Okay.
Which we've always said, if you have to ask that question, you're not going to like the answer. So, no, that's weird. How would you feel if your daughter was somewhere and some stranger came up and pulled her skirt down and said, what you're doing, you need to cover up more.
Bail money. Honey, get the bail money underneath the mattress because I'm going to need it.
Speaking of some of the young folk... Two teenagers were arrested downtown here Saturday night after a shots fired investigation.
Jeez.
According to the IMPD, two 15-year-olds were arrested around 8:25 on Saturday near the intersection of East Market Street and North Penn.
Wonderful.
Now, I don't know. I wasn't down here this past weekend on Saturday. I went downtown for the Pacers game and work on Friday. Sunday seemed like it was a pretty good day of people just enjoying themselves going to the ball game. But I know a lot of problems are still going on. Now, if you remember, about a year ago, you know, when my son was a senior in high school, there were some shenanigans downtown during prom season there. You know, there's a big fight on Monument Circle. Rob Kendall and I videotaped it. We talked about it. The circle got blocked off. We had all the pictures. And then certain spokespeople of the police department said nothing happened, to which we called them out and said, no, you're lying. cut the crap, and it was a big deal. But point being, when you get these proms together downtown, it's ridiculous that you have to worry about like a big fight or gunfire breaking out.
It's ridiculous that you have to worry about 15-year-olds pulling out guns and shooting.
Right. And there are certain people listening right now, they're going to say, well, that's you gun nuts' fault. Everybody's got a gun now. Let alone the fact that a 15-year-old's not old enough to have a gun. And second of all, he thinks it's okay to just fire it off like Yosemite Sam left and right. That's the problem. The gun itself isn't going to magically float up in the air and start shooting at people. It's morons that do. That's what these two 15-year-olds were, and I'm glad that they got taken into custody. I don't have any numbers in front of me. I don't know how many curfew arrests the IMPD is actually making these days, but the threat is there. So if you're downtown and you're being a knucklehead or you're doing something stupid, I hope you get taken to jail, and I hope you stay there for a little bit to at least learn a lesson. So you sent me a story earlier today. The seven most intense acting performances of all time.
Oh, yeah. This website published this list of the most acting, you know, intense acting performances. The number one spot went to Heath Ledger as the Joker in The Dark Knight.
I can see that because that role broke him, man. Like, studying to be the Joker screwed him up mentally to the point to where ultimately drugs got involved, prescription meds, and he took his own life.
But I would say also adding to this list, I'll just read you this list and then I'll, you know, tell you who I think should be added. Heath Ledger, the Joker in The Dark Knight, number one. Daniel Day-Lewis as Daniel Plainview, There Will Be Blood. I've abandoned my child! I've abandoned my child! You're a bastard in a basket!
I've never seen it, so I'm just going to assume you're doing something from that movie.
A bastard in a basket. Jack Nicholson is Jack Torrance in The Shining.
Strong.
De Niro in Raging Bull. I've never seen it.
Good film. Old movie, but good film.
1980. Charlize Theron as the serial killer in Monster in 2003.
Man, the way they made her look in that thing. Like,
whoa.
Didn't look anything like Charlize Theron.
Toni Collette in some sort of horror movie called Hereditary in 2018. Never seen it. And then De Niro in Taxi Driver as well.
You talking to me?
Yeah, I never seen that one either.
Okay. For the most part, I'm pretty good with this list. Again, I've never seen
the most intense scenes in movies ever.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue, I don't think, with number one, because, again, that broke Heath Ledger. Like, I think he was one of those guys, like Jim Carrey, where he tries to become the character, like, and lives his life like that, even away from the set, to stay into the role. And that was such a dark role, it screwed him up.
I would say some other intense ones, just personally for me. The movie Crimson Tide, the scene towards the end with Denzel Washington and Gene Hackman.
That's a good one.
I definitely think Sam Jackson, Jules, in Pulp Fiction, reciting the Bible verse before he blows the guy away on the couch. That's an intense scene for sure.
Now, is it just for scenes or like a full-on role like throughout the movie?
I know it says the most intense acting performances, so I think it encompasses everything.
Okay. Yeah.
You could go on and on and on like this forever.
Yeah, I don't see Dom DeLuise in here for the Cannonball Run. I'm a little disappointed that didn't make the list. Somewhere in between the De Niro roles and Jack Nicholson, Dom DeLuise should have been on there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Need another reason to drink tonight, Nige. Jerry Seinfeld turned 70.
What?
70.
Whoa. That's a big number to me.
I never would have guessed he was that old.
I mean, he started Seinfeld when he was in his late 30s.
Right. I guess in his last comedy special on Netflix, he was talking a little bit about what it's like getting older.
When you're in your 60s, people ask you to do something, you just say no. No reason, no excuse, no explanation. I can't wait for my 70s. I don't even think I'll answer. I like this time. It's relaxing. I don't want to grow. I don't want to change. I don't want to improve at anything. I don't want to expand my interests, meet anyone, or learn anything I don't already know. I don't lie in restaurants anymore. How is everything? I don't like it here. A lot of people around my age like to make a bucket list. I made a bucket list, then I turned the B to an F, and I was done with that, too. I just want you to have that option. You can either check off all your items or change one letter at the top. You're in a lazy boy watching a ball game.
Yeah, you know, that's the way I am in my 40s. Much less your 60s or 70s. Wow, yeah, happy birthday to Jerry. Did you hear him going off on woke, like the woke culture ruining comedy? This is from a podcast, like the New Yorker podcast or something like this, and he's talking about how wokeness in this culture has sort of ruined the comedic world.
It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to see stand-up comics because we are not policed by anyone. The audience polices us. We know when we're off track. Mm-hmm. We know instantly, and we adjust to it instantly. But when you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke, well, that's the end of your comedy.
Yeah.
And he's not the first comedian to come out and say that.
No.
We've heard white comedians, black comedians, Republicans, Democrats, Chappelle, Chris Rock, other comedians have said the same thing.
Well, I do remember Jerry Seinfeld years ago saying he wouldn't play college campuses anymore for fear of exactly what he was talking about.
Well, hell, half these college kids want the show Seinfeld canceled. They say it doesn't hold up anymore.
Lots of politically correct articles about Seinfeld and how, looking back, they would not have been able to air the episodes they did back then, for sure.
But the thing is, it was a different time back then. Like, I would love for some of these college kids to sit down and watch some of those crossovers where George Jefferson met Archie Bunker. Like, sit down and watch that. These kids will lose their mind.
I don't think I've seen. Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I never saw that.
Yeah, Jefferson's and All in the Family,
You're
Archie
kidding.
Bunker. Yeah, Jefferson's was kind of a
that.
Spinoff anyway. But, yeah, what those two were talking about would blow people's minds today. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The Hammer and Nigel Show.
Well, I can identify with this somewhat. Someone in Montana posted a video after a pesky woodpecker took an interest in their doorbell and wouldn't stop ringing it. Here's the audio. You see the video. It's the pecker just going at it.
Sounds like somebody playing pinball, actually.
Play it again. Kyla, just play it. Play it one more time because I hate woodpeckers. Just sitting there on that doorbell. And the thing is, I could be wrong about this. We had a huge problem with my house because I had wood siding, and there were holes all over the place, giant, perfectly round holes from woodpeckers. And I don't think, I could be wrong, I don't think you're allowed to kill them.
Christy Gnome begs to differ.
Oh, boy.
Call Christy Gnome. Yeah. She'll come over and exterminate that damn thing real quick.
That is... If you don't know what we're talking about, go read Christy Noem's new book, The Governor of South Dakota. But yeah, the pesky woodpeckers are annoying. I hate them.
According to a new study, 42% of Americans support the government's ban of TikTok.
Oh, wow.
Here with a public service announcement is the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Are you aware of the dangers lurking on your child's phone? TikTok, the addictive app that's captivating young minds everywhere, may not be as harmless as it seems. TikTok promotes cyberbullying, inappropriate content, and even data privacy concerns. It's time to take action. Protect your children from the negative influences of TikTok. Together, let's make a stand for a safer online environment. Sincerely, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Pretty much. Do not go anywhere. Top story coming up next, including the mayor of Bloomington picking a side. Lunatics or the police? Place your bets.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.